Now, from the Jacksonville Orthopedic Institute studios at Everbank Field, 1010XL 92.5 FM presents Jaguars Today with your hosts Mike Dempsey and Tony Smith.
Tony, I think I've had a Facebook faux pas this morning already. I'm not exactly happy about it because I'm a social media maven. I thought I posted the question of the day. I even had a nice accompanying photo with it up on the Facebook page, and I do not see that up there now. Did I screw up royally? Perhaps I have.
Let me check.
Check into that. But today, as we told Dan Hicken, our question of the day is simply, what is the, how did we phrase it exactly? What is the nicest thing you've ever seen a Jaguars player do outside of football? It's the way, what is the nicest thing you've ever seen a Jaguars player do outside of football? That's exactly what it is. And we're thinking more towards the line of, community events, but maybe it is changing an old lady's tire by the side of the road. I don't know. Would you stop and change an old lady's tire for her if she was by the side of the road?
Yeah.
I think I'd like to think I would, right? But nowadays, everyone's got some little call box in their phone. Even the old ladies driving around have to know how to use their cell phone, and they call AAA, and they're on the scene for them. They probably sit there and wait in the AC. If I see an old, put it this way, if I see an old lady and the trunk is popped and she's got the crowbar and she's looking at it like trying to figure out which end of this goes on the lug nut, I will stop and help her out, all right?
Yeah.
It is brutally hot out there to be changing a tire these days. But Jags are all over town at a number of locales, trying to just spread some good cheer to area kids who are dealing with some different illnesses right now. A group is at Wilson's Children's Hospital today, the Ronald McDonald House, Brooks Rehabilitation, and Nemours Children's Specialty Care. So they've split them up by position groups, and they're making surprise visits. The surprise is out of the bag because they started doing these at 9 a.m. this morning. We got wind of this yesterday, so you're going to see a lot of stories about this today. It's pretty cool to do, and it does give the players a nice break as well, and hopefully helps them appreciate the community and connect them a little bit more with the community. We've seen that. We've talked about that so many times since we started this program, Tony, and even going back years beyond that. How many of these players that have come to play for this franchise have made Jacksonville their home? And it's just such a great place to live, and it's nice to see some of these young guys, and that's what this team is mostly comprised of, get that connection as well.
Yeah, and I think it's important, and I think there may be a lot of players on this team. Look, they do a lot of this kind of stuff anyway. A lot of the guys on this team do, but maybe because it is such a young roster with a bunch of young guys on it, they haven't had the opportunity to really connect with this community yet, and I think it's a cool idea with the plan to go back to practice tomorrow that instead of saying we're going to go watch Entourage like they did last year, or go bowling like
right.
They did a couple years ago, to say, hey, let's get out in the community and do something for somebody and expose some of the players who maybe haven't had that exposure to Jacksonville yet to what it's going to be a member of the Jacksonville Jaguars in Jacksonville, and get them comfortable around their own guys being in these kind of atmospheres so that when they go and say, hey, I want to try to put something together, and the Jags have always been good about that, trying to reach out to the community, but they become more comfortable in asking, what can I do for somebody here in Jacksonville?
Yeah, and let's be clear, too. Nothing wrong with having a bowling day or anything like that. Because here's the thing. This is not the first time that the Jaguars, have done something like this. They do it all the time. They do it throughout the course
Absolutely,
of the season.
Yeah.
And, I was talking with somebody about this the other day. We so often publicize the more salacious things. That's just the way news works, right? The old saying, if it bleeds, it leads. And the more dramatic, the more controversial, that's what grabs the headlines because that's what sells newspapers, is the old expression.
And kind of cool, Jalen Ramsey's actually with the D-back group going around doing this today, too.
Yeah.
I just saw Tad Dickman send out a picture. He's over there at Nemours, I think. No, he's at RMHC Jacks. So, yeah, they're tweeting out pictures, all the people that are at these different locations. But, Jalen Ramsey's still participating today despite the fact that he's rehabbing, too. From an injury. So it's cool. Everyone's getting involved.
All right, so all that's going on. We've had some interesting responses already. Dino Funk said that Keenan McCardle once shared his chicken wings with him.
Nice.
That is a nice gesture. And you know what? It doesn't have to be some magnanimous, charitable event. Maybe it's something as simple and cool as that. Somebody said that they were driving down the street and Blake Bortles was going the other way, and he high-fived one of his kids, Bortles did, from his truck as they were passing each other on Bay Street. I'm sure they were going slow. That was from Brock Go Blue.
That would be the left hand, though, for
yes,
Blake.
Yes, it would be.
It's not the throwing arm. He's throwing out the window.
What's he doing? Mike, what is Blake doing? High-fiving somebody out of the window. Doesn't he know? Mike, come on. All right. Terrence, don't worry. It'll be okay. He's not going to rip his left arm off. Terrence did not send that tweet, by the way. Also today, we had him in studio for the first time ever in our two-year tenure, well, and certainly in the year since he was drafted here. Dante Fowler Jr. Joined us on Jaguars Today early this week. It was always our intention to replay that probably Friday, but David Garrard's coming in studio with us tomorrow, so we don't want to waste Dave's time replaying an interview. So we're going to have that coming up for you here in just a couple of minutes. Leon Washington, one of Jacksonville's favorite sons, and maybe he'll tell you where he's headed with his post-playing days. He's officially retired, and what's he going to do? He does a lot of stuff charitably here on the First Coast as well. Talk about his foundation. So it's that kind of day. If you want to get in, share a story of a cool thing you've seen a Jaguar player past or present do out in the community, 641-1010 is the phone number. It's also the text line driven by Duval Ford. You can tweet us at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony, at 1010XL Tyler. I'm going to go try to find that great picture I had of Blake Bortles visiting kids and throw that up on the Jaguars Today Facebook page as well. So glad you're a part of the program on this Thursday. Just getting rolling. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
I thought Dante looked really good. I mean, he has looked good through phase one, phase two, phase three. Still has some work to do. He has a little bit of rustiness. We're holding him back a little bit. He's not getting the same reps as everybody else. But, you know, we just want to see how he comes along, how he handles it. But attitude and work ethic, man, unbelievable. Unbelievable.
Now more Jaguars Today on 1010XL 92.5 FM.
You know, Tony, when you think you're doing a good job and then your boss out of the blue tells you, I just want to tell you, you've been doing a good job. It still feels good, right?
No doubt.
Those kind of things. So I'm sure Dante Fowler Jr. Does not get tired of hearing that from his head coach, Gus Bradley. I'm very excited. Mike Dempsey, Tony Smith here with you as we welcome in Dante Fowler Jr. We've waited a year to have you in the studio, my man. How are you? You look great. Everyone says you look great on the practice field. How you feeling? How are things?
I feel great. First of all, I want to, you know, thank you guys for having me in here. But I feel great just being able to be back out there again and running around with my teammates and, you know, having fun with the guys and just being able to be out there and play the game that I love again.
What do you think when you hear your head coach, you know, just kind of gush about you a little bit like that? It's nice to have that kind of confirmation, right?
Yeah, it's nice to have that, you know, but at the end of the day, you know, that just makes me want to, you know, work more harder, you know. It makes me more hungrier, you know. And it just makes me want to, you know, make me want to keep doing the right thing so I can be able to build that trust with him.
Take me through the last year for you, Dante. Obviously, the injury sucks, and there's nothing you can do about it, but you have to go through all that rehab, going through team meetings, doing all that stuff last year. Just how frustrating was it for you being the first-round pick, not being able to help this football team?
It was really frustrating because that was my first year ever really sitting out and my first big injury, so I wasn't used to sitting out a football for a whole year. So that was pretty crucial, especially with the injury that I had. But, you know, my teammates and my support team that I had, my coaches and my training staff, my parents, you know, they just, you know, supported me through the whole thing, you know, kept me positive. I'll stay with positive energy. And, you know, I feel like it was, you know, both good and bad. One, you know, I wasn't able to play, you know, showcase my talents for the fans. But, you know, it was good because I was able, you know, just to get accustomed to the system and, you know, see how things are. I was able, you know, to be in a film room, in a classroom when I, you know, wasn't practicing and things like that every day and getting the playbook down. So now that I'm out there now, it's, you know, I can just go out there and play fast because, you know, I'm not thinking. I'm not one of those rookies that, you know, had to come in, learn the playbook, and go out on the practice field off rip and just go, and they, you know, you can't play really fast when you think like that. So for me to be able to get the plays in and be in the film room that year when I was sitting out, that was a really big advantage for me.
And we know you're practicing right now with the knee brace on, but as you said to us momentarily before we came on the air, you don't have to have it on right now, but you're being smart with things at this point in time, right?
Yeah, like we talked about, you know, we're not winning no games right now. All the games are going to be won in August, which is a few months from now. So, you know, we're going to see how it goes, play it out. And, you know, when I'm comfortable enough, you know, and I know for a fact that it's time for the brace to come off, it come off. It's not holding me back, not one bit.
Is it still mentally? Is there any question in your mind? Or are you able to just let that go and not even really think about it?
Yeah,
right
with
now?
Me, I've always been that type of guy. You know, just when I'm out there on the field, just leave it all out there. So I really don't think about that. That mental barrier really was easy to kind of let go of. It just, you know, you got to be confident in yourself. If you know your knee is strong and you know you're getting stronger and you're doing the things for your, you know, for your knee to get stronger, it will get strong. And once you're confident in yourself and you know you're putting the work in, there's no reason for you to worry.
Like you said, the fans have been waiting for a year to see what you bring to the field. So, Dante, what do you bring to the field?
I bring, you know, tenacious. Nasty. That's what I bring. I'm just a nasty person, a fun person on top of that, on and off the field. I like to get the crowd rocking. You know, I just like bringing that energy, you know, in the bank that, you know, that we need. So I can't wait, you know, to go out there, run around, half sacks, you know, get the crowd off his feet and roaring for us when we win. So I can't wait to do that.
Everybody can't wait to see that as well. Dante Fowler Jr. here with us on Jaguars today. What do you think about the power tools going on up above us right now? You know, this is all for the fans that are working on the club seats, man. You didn't realize how tough we have it as broadcasters, the challenges we have to go through on a day-to-day basis.
You guys are really talented. For having me here, you know, for you to be able to go, you know, do this every day, you know, with the personality and, you know, the enthusiasm that you guys have, I really admire that.
What a guy. Hey, listen, when you didn't get to play with him last year, but you saw what you had in that defensive line group, and now you see some of the additions, some of the guys are coming back, and you add a guy like Malik Jackson up front. The depth on the defensive line looks ridiculous, right?
Yeah. It's really ridiculous. You got Malik, Derek Marks is coming back. Roy Miller, another guy that really had a Pro Bowl and an All-Pro year last year that a lot of people didn't know. Myself, Chris Smith, who was doing really good. Yannick, a rookie that is really, really good as far as Sheldon Day. Two really good rookies. They did a really good job on that. And, you know, those are going to be really two good value picks in the future. But, you know, the D-line is looking good. And, you know, we're just trying to build that chemistry and, you know, come along together so we can be on the same page on Sundays.
Has there been a guy that's helped you along the most, you know, whether it be through the year dealing with the injury or out there on the practice field really for the first time?
Yeah.
Has there been a veteran that's helped you?
I say Avery Jones. I really came in with Avery. He played at Georgia. I played at Florida, so he was kind of familiar with each other. But when I came in, he took me in, and he's very smart. He knows the playbook, you know, in and out. You know, he can read it written, like, on the back of his palm. That's how smart he is. So, you know, I sit with him in the film room and things like that, and, you know, he always taking me through, you know, steps and, you know, putting knowledge on my head and, you know, just teaching me the game. So it's pretty cool to see, you know, one of my peers teaching me the game and learning from one of my peers.
Dante Fowler Jr., our guest here on Jaguars Day for a couple more minutes, and we appreciate the time this morning. Do you have some personal goals? Like, do you have statistical goals in mind? How many sacks or pressures or whatever you want to achieve?
I don't have any statistical goals, but I'm very confident in myself that I'm going to get to the quarterback a lot. That's all I'm going to say. I'm not going to say I have any goals. I just know with, you know, how we're working right now, the guys that I have, I'm going to get to the quarterback a lot. And, you know, with my capabilities and my abilities, I'm pretty confident in myself, pretty confident in the work that I put in with my training staff getting ready for this season. And, you know, with me just being able to sit out, you know, for a whole year, especially everybody know that I play with my heart on my sleeve. And I am very passionate about this game, and I love this game a lot. And I can't wait for you guys to actually see, you know, how I really love this game. That'd be really cool.
Do you like the pressure? I mean, you're a second year guy, so you had the opportunity to be around the game last year, but haven't played the NFL game yet. Do you like the pressure that's being put on you as a first round pick and really the guy they're relying on at that Leo spot, especially?
Yeah, I actually love the pressure, honestly. You know, pressure that brings the best out of you. So, you know, you can't complain about it. You know, just keep putting it on me, and, you know, I want to be able to show you guys, you know, whatever you put on my plate, I'm able to eat it all up. So
we've talked to a number of your defensive teammates, and they've all talked about the infusion of passion that Todd Wash has brought to this defense, right?
Yeah.
You coach your position group last year, and now he's the head guy on the defense. What is that going to do for that side of the football?
It's going to do a lot. Todd Wash, you know, he's a very passionate coach too. He sets the bar really high. And he's a great coachable coach. He loves the game. He's very smart about the game. And, you know, he's a player's coach type of coach. And, you know, that's what players, you know, really want nowadays. So with him and, you know, his aggressiveness, really, and, you know, with the defense and how he wants it to run and, you know, letting his players, you know, being able to be comfortable in the system and not really change a lot of things, but just the way that we're going to execute it and his emphasis of what he puts on, you know, executing plays and executing our pressures, I really feel good about him.
It feels like it's been a tight D-line group in the locker room really for a couple years here in Jacksonville, but A lot of new faces coming in this year with that group. How have they integrated into it?
They integrated really well. Sheldon Day, like I said, he's a smart guy. You know, you see talent when you see it. And Sheldon Day and Yannick, those are two rookies that, you know, that has it. And, you know, throughout the years, you guys will really be able to see how good they are. And, you know, these guys, they've been in the system for a while. Tyson, Abe, Sendarek, Chris, even Ryan Davis. So a lot of guys, you know, already been in the system. So, you know, they know the mentality and, you know, they know, you know, what we need to bring to this defense. So it's nothing like we have a lot of new guys and things like that. You know, we know the mentality on what we need to do. Just everybody, once we get on the same page, we'll be able to cut it loose.
All right, as we wrap up here, and we appreciate the time, you know, first time on this format, at least, you had a chance to address Jaguar fans. I know you've talked to the media before since you've been here, but what final message would you like to leave them with today?
I love, you know, Jacksonville, just the city in general. I love Duval. I love the Jaguars, and I love Jaguar Nation. To the fans, you know, this is a very special year. I know you guys, you know, hear that a lot, but this is a very special year. I just want you guys to support us. And, you know, as much as, you know, support that we can get from you guys, we'll show you guys how much we appreciate you guys. Like I said, I love you guys. And Duval.
I didn't have to ask. I was Duval. Going to. Good man. Dante Fowler Jr., man, go out there. We've got our own set of statistical milestones in mind, but we won't share those with you either. We'll let you know at the end of the season if you hit them. But, great to talk to you, man. Love the attitude.
Absolutely.
And continued good health for you, all right?
I really appreciate you guys having me on here.
All right, anytime, buddy. You stop by. You know, he acts like we wouldn't have him on before, I think. Every day. Just come in every day, Dante. We'll be good with that. Thanks, buddy. We'll
all right,
see you.
Thank you.
All right, there you go, Dante Fowler Jr. That was from a couple days ago over at Everbank, Tony. I like the infectious enthusiasm, the personality. You can tell he is a guy that, he hasn't played football in a long time. It's been, Hacker will probably give you the chapter and verse to the day, how many days it's been. But it's been a long time since he's been on the football field in a meaningful game. And he's looking to cut loose and get after it, certainly for the Jacksonville Jaguars this year. And as I said at the end, stay healthy. I think he has a great chance to maybe exceed some expectations of the typical rookie season. I know he's not technically a rookie, but his first year coming up in the National Football League.
The unofficial Hacker day count is 523 days since Dante Fowler's last game.
How do you know this? Does he update it every day, or does he just text you?
No, I wish I actually got it from the source himself, but I had to go online and do a little day calculator search.
Okay, is there is that Hacker didn't provide that information?
No, he did not, unfortunately.
I blew the bit there, is what I did, I think, Tony. I was confused, and I did want to say, because we always forget, at least I forget to update these polls. We did the poll yesterday, and we left it open for a day. Which player will start the most games for the Jags this year? Jonathan Cyprian pretty much held the same percentage, close to it, that he had yesterday. 78% the final tally. Went with Sip compared to Luke Jokel. More people thinking that Jonathan Cyprian will start more games out of that particular duo in 2016 for the Jacksonville Jaguars. All right, coming up next, we'll do this date in football and the Honda drive around the NFL. I've got a pop quiz for the boys today as well. And then we'll welcome in Leon Washington, one of Jacksonville's favorite sons. Question of the day today, what is the nicest thing you've seen a Jaguars player do outside of football here in the community? And it can be something silly, it can be something charitable, it can be whatever. What's the nicest act you've seen them perform here outside of the game of football? And whether that's a current Jaguar or a past Jaguar doesn't really matter. Share your thoughts with us on Twitter today at MD_1010XL, at 1010XL Fat Tony. The Jaguars Today Facebook page is open as well. Mike Dempsey, Fat Tony, Tyler Devitt here with you on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
This date in football history.
All right, here we go. This date in football history brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry. On this date in football, June 9th, 1960, ABC and the AFL signed a five-year contract to broadcast those games. We've had a lot of AFL news this week, as this has been the week that they agreed to merge with the National Football League in the mid-60s. Finally got that done. Famous birthdays for this date, Teddy Bruschi was born on this date. The former New England Patriot linebacker turns 43. He made one Pro Bowl in his career. 1983, Josh Cribbs, third all-time on the combined punt and kickoff return yardage list. Three Pro Bowls, one-time first-team All-Pro. He turns 33. Only 33 years old for Josh Cribbs.
Yeah.
Been a couple of years. He's kind of fell off the
table
a little bit.
Injury problems a little bit. I think it cost him.
Yeah. Jeff Linkenbach, new Jaguar, 29 years old. And also De'Anthony Smith, former Jaguar defensive tackle for a brief spell, born in this state in 1988. He turns 28 years old today. This date in football brought to you by Dr. James McCall's Comprehensive and Cosmetic Dentistry right here in town on Gate Parkway. Call Dr. McCall's office at 620-9225 if you're in the market for a family dentist or you need any kind of cosmetic work done. In the meantime, you can visit jamesjmccall.com, get a complete list of their comprehensive care services. That is this date in football history.
Now the Honda Drive Around the NFL, brought to you by your First Coast Honda dealers.
Well, Johnny Manziel isn't ready to give up on playing football in 2016, according to his lawyer, Jim Darnell. Darnell said that Johnny's immediate plans are to start getting ready for football, but did admit that playing in 2017 is a more feasible goal. Manziel, of course, currently not on any NFL roster.
You're cool.
Reportedly, the Denver Broncos and star pass rusher Von Miller are no longer in discussions on a contract extension for Vaughn. The Broncos have supposedly offered Miller a six-year deal worth $114.5 million, nearly $40 million guaranteed in the first 2 years. The two sides have until July 15th to agree to a long-term deal, or Miller will have to play the 2016 season under the franchise tag, which would pay him just over $14 million. This year, the Broncos' latest offer would make Miller the highest-paid non-quarterback in the league. Vaughn Miller saying that he wants something in the neighborhood of $60 million guaranteed in the first 3 years, is what his side continues to contend. Convicted murderer Aaron Hernandez is switching lawyers as he prepares for his upcoming double murder trial. Hernandez has acquired the services of Jose Baez, a name you may recognize as the defensive attorney for Casey Anthony. Baez was able to get the verdict not guilty for Anthony. Now Aaron is looking for some of the same. Baez will be joined on the defense team by Harvard Law professor Ronald Sullivan and Alex Spiro. As Mike Florio pointed out on Pro Football Talk this morning, the outcome of this double murder case doesn't really matter, though, if the new defense team can't figure out some way to overturn Hernandez's conviction for the murder of Odin Lloyd.
Yeah, I'm in jail for the rest of my life, but I'm only serving it for this one murder, okay? I'm not serving it for all these other murders. I guess that means something to you. Von Miller, people will look and say, wow, 6 years, $114 million or whatever it was. He's crazy not to take it. And Dominican Sue got $60 million guaranteed. Von Miller, they're offering like $38.5 million guaranteed. Yes, that is life-changing money. You and I, and when I say you and I, I'm not talking to you, Tony. I'm talking to you and I, to the listener at large.
Sure.
We don't live in that world. We don't have that skill set. If we did, whatever your skill set is, you want to command the most you can in your chosen profession, right? If you feel like someone of comparable ability and production is getting paid more than you, you're probably not happy with
yeah.
it.
Yeah, right? And I know I saw like on Yahoo yesterday after that story broke with Von Miller that maybe Von Miller sits out the season. I don't see that happening. You're not going to get $14 million back.
Right.
Right. Like
you can't make that up.
That money just evaporates if you're Von Miller. But the reason the $60 million comes into play, not only because of the money that Ndamukong Suh got guaranteed, but if Von Miller had to be franchised for the next 3 years by the Denver Broncos, it would be about $59.5 million. Would be what they paid him guaranteed. So Von Miller is saying, if you're willing to do that, if I'm not going to sign a long-term deal, then do it. That's basically what Von Miller is demanding is going to happen with this. Maybe he has enough leverage to get that kind of thing done. Well, they'll guarantee the third year in this thing, too. But we'll see. At least he's stepping away from the table for now. They have another month or so to get this whole thing worked out.
Who's been the better player, Ndamukong Suh or Von Miller?
In their career? Last year, probably Von Miller. But Ndamukong Suh was a dominant force up there in Detroit. The numbers don't show up like they're going to for a guy like Von Miller. So the sack numbers are always going to be in his favor.
Yeah, Von Miller's got like 60 sacks. Yeah. Sue's 48 and whatever. And Sue's played one more year than he has. Von Miller's Super Bowl MVP. He's at least deserving of what Ndamukong Suh got. Not just because of that performance, but he did help carry them through the playoffs. And they won it on their defense. Ndamukong Suh's never won squat in the National Football League, and he's a pain in the ass to deal with on top of all that. And, I'm kind of team Von Miller on this one, but I'm with you. It's hard to believe that he's going to pass up $14 million. Pop quiz time.
Oh.
Josh Cribbs, third all-time combined punt and kickoff return yards. How many of the rest of the top 10 can you get without getting three strikes? What do you think? I need a bid first on how many you're going to get.
I don't know. I feel like I can get a couple because I'm guessing a couple of them are active or close to active. I feel like I can probably get four or five, maybe.
All right, give me what you got.
I would guess Devin Hester.
Devin Hester is ninth.
Among other active guys, maybe Sproles.
Sproles is seventh. That's it for the active guys.
Brian Mitchell.
Number one.
I assume would be number one. You said Josh Cribbs was third.
You don't get to count him.
Okay.
You can have him. That's fine.
Dante Hall.
Dante Hall is sixth.
Leon's not on there, is he?
He's 11th.
Oh, is he really?
He is.
I thought that might have been part of the reason for the question
today.
Well,
it was kind of because, you know, Cribbs' birthday and Leon was a return specialist.
Sure. Desmond Howard.
Desmond Howard is 8th. Pretty good. No ding for Desmond?
Apparently not.
There it is.
Jermaine Lewis.
No. He's 19th.
Okay. That may be it.
I'll tell you right now, Vi-Sikahema was only 18th as well. I know was the next one to come out of your mouth. Alan Rossum was second all time, over 15,000.
Really?
Yeah. I know, right? Cribbs third. Mel Gray, of course. That's one you probably should have gotten. Glenn Milburn, who I think still holds the record for the most total yards, not necessarily from scrimmage, in a single game in the NFL, is over 400 yards that he had in a game back in the 90s. You had Howard, and then Kevin Williams, former Miami wide receiver who was primarily with the Dallas Cowboys. That one surprised me. I didn't realize he had such an impact in the return game. But
yeah, I don't remember Kevin Williams being that, but apparently
he
was.
Either. Yeah, apparently he was. Herschel, isn't Herschel Walker like the all-time combined yardage leader in professional football history? United States professional. Not forgetting what they do in Canada. When you combine USFL, that's why I said United States professional, USFL plus NFL, I think he's the all-time, all-purpose yardage leader in professional football
history. He might be. I don't know what he did in the USFL. The NFL numbers should be easy enough to find.
Right, because he was a big-time return guy on top of being a running back who could catch passes. You know, so he hit you in all three phases of the game, the passing game, at least for what he's talking about, the passing game, the running game, and the return game as well. By the way, good job on the pop quiz. Have you seen these commercials for you remember the movie The Purge? Have you seen The Purge?
Yeah.
I thought it was okay, right?
Yeah, it was fun.
Concept, one night a year, you can go crazy and commit any crime you want.
The first
one
was fun.
Right. I don't know if I've seen the second one.
They've gotten real dumb.
Was it they have got, or that one got real dumb?
The third
one's coming out now.
Yeah, like the third, I think it's the third sequel, I thought.
I thought it was only the third total one.
I thought it was the fourth.
It's the Purge election year,
yeah.
Right? I'm going to start my own version of this, and it's going to be in all my social media timelines.
Okay.
Everyone who posts anything political, I don't care on what side of the fence you're on, you're getting run. All right? I'm just tired of it. I'm sick of seeing the memes, the this, the that, I don't care. I get enough of it everywhere I go. So when you get booted out of my timeline, that's going to be why. All right? So you know, I'm doing my own purge election year, and it's going to be all you people that think I care what you think about politics. I don't shove my politics down your throat, and I don't want yours shoved down my throat. Somebody emails me some little photo caption thing like, why do you think I want this crap coming from you? I don't care.
Only five more months of this, Mike. Only five
more
months.
No, it won't be in my timeline. The Purge, it's coming. You're all going to get dropped. Why did he unfriend me? Because you're a political rabble-rouser is why. That's why. All right. Coming up, Leon Washington going to join us in studio. He's on his way. Should be here in about 10 minutes. We'll talk about his foundation. We'll talk about his post-playing career, which really officially starts now. He just officially announced his retirement a couple of weeks ago. Leon Washington did. One of Jacksonville's favorite sons, of course. He was Mr. Football in the state of Florida at Andrew Jackson High School. Went on to start Florida State University and for a variety of teams in the National Football League as well. We'll forget the fact that he played in Nashville for a brief period in his career.
Wonder if he's a fan of mayo.
We'll overlook that. He probably had a taste for it for a little short while. up there in Nashville, I would think. It's very popular from what we hear. All right, that'll do it for this segment. Coming back with Leon Washington joining us in studio at 1010XL World Headquarters. If you want to get in and talk with Leon, 641-1010 is the phone number. You can also text us on that line. I got a bunch of great responses, by the way, to the question of the day, particularly on the text line. If we don't have Leon right at the beginning of the segment, we'll run through some of those. Question of the day is, what's the nicest thing you've seen a Jaguar player do outside of football? Whether it's a current Jag, former Jag, whatever. Does a chance encounter maybe you've had personally, something you're aware of? A lot of people giving St. Derek Marks, obviously, a lot of credit for taking the young lady who was stricken with cancer to her prom. That was a great gesture and a great thing that St. Derek Marks did. And you know what? These guys, maybe not as magnanimous as that, but these guys are doing a lot of good things in a lot of different venues. And, you know, and we had this one on the text line that said, and I'm not going to read who it's from because I'm not trying to blast them. It said, the best thing a Jag can do is win games. There are lots of people that do things for the public that are millionaires. That's great. We don't do a show about those people. We do a show about the Jacksonville Jaguars. It's called Jaguars Today. So we generally talk about their on-the-field stuff. Hey, Tony, if we only talked about their on-the-field stuff, guess what? It'd be a pretty quiet show until September, all right? Because they're not on the field in any meaningful capacity. So, yeah, if it offends you that we're talking about gym and giving class. Them some credit for something that they're doing that's nice for the community, turn the freaking station and feel free to never tune it back in, all right? Honestly, if that really bothers you. Of all the things that might bother you that we're talking about today. So, enough said. Moving on with Fat Tony, with Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
Now, Jaguars Today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And Washington will return this one from the one. Washington slowed down as he crossed the 20 and stays on his feet. Leon Washington is off to the races once again. Does he have the closing speed? Washington is gone. Touchdown, 99 yards. His second of the day. Leon Washington may single-handedly bring the Seahawks a victory.
I don't know if he single-handedly brought him a victory, but two returns for a touchdown in one game, pretty good. We're just saying, Tony, Leon Washington, 11th all-time. Leon just joined us in the studio. I said, yeah. Leon, do you know where you stand? He really didn't. I told him 11th. I got a sense he was disappointed. He just cracked the top 10.
I think we asked the wrong question. Does Leon know where he stands on the all-time kick return touchdown list?
Oh, that's a better one.
Exactly. So I'm tied for one
in
that category. So I got the most touchdowns in NFL history, kickoff return. And when I add, Josh Kribb has 52 more returns than me, so.
It took him more effort, more opportunities
to match
you.
Thought he may know those numbers.
Yeah, exactly. Because it's Kribb's birthday today.
Yeah, happy birthday, Josh.
Happy birthday, Josh. We gave you those extra 52 opportunities. That's your present, buddy.
Exactly.
How you doing, man?
I'm doing well. I'm doing great. Good to be back here in Jacksonville. As you guys know, it's my fourth annual Foundation Weekend. Coming up here in a few weekends here in Jacksonville, June the 24th and 25th. Kind of briefly give you guys a synopsis on that. So on that Friday, Andrew Jackson High School, we're having a celebrity flag football game.
Okay.
So it's kind of going to be like a throwback type situation. I'll be out there playing. A lot of the guys, the Florida State guys, NFL guys will be out there. So if you want to come back and get it in, and you feel like you're a throwback player, you want your shot at me, here's your shot.
Uh-oh.
Come out there next Friday. Come out there. And then, of course, Saturday at Blue Cypress Park is our free football camp. And everybody knows about our football camp. It's totally free for kids. Our sponsors do a great job. Money Pages, Chick-fil-A, River City Place, Marketplace do a great job of sponsoring us. So our free football camp, make sure you sign up for that. And then that Saturday night at Everbank Stadium at the Terrace Suite, we're having our Celebrity Gala. And that's going to be our big fundraising event this year. It's our fourth year in our foundation. We're really in the fundraising mode, try to, you know, help impact these kids in Jacksonville. We got a lot of big plans coming back home. So if you want all the information, go to LeonWashingtonFoundation.com and feel free to support us in any way possible. We need everyone's support, and we're trying to do this thing big here in Jacksonville.
No doubt about it. And, again, LeonWashingtonFoundation.com. We'll mention that several times before you get out of here today, man. You're done, right, with the NFL? Done,
yeah,
completely
I'm
done?
Yeah, I'm done. You know, I haven't did the, you know, I'm like Marshawn Lynch. I haven't sent my letter in, but.
Which camera do I need to look into here, right?
Since I'm a free agent, I'm done playing football. You know, when I think back over my career, and I did it all the way back to Little League football, playing with the Arlington Warriors, you know, and playing over there, and then going to Andrew Jackson High School football, and then playing there, and on the Florida State National Football League, you know, what a blessing to have an opportunity to be on that type of stage and impact kids in a positive way. I mean, just a tremendous honor, tremendous blessing. Then on top of that, you know, I have a, make a great earning for my family and be able to impact my kids. And, you know, I'm so fortunate, so blessed to be able to still run today. You know, I can really fly, I can still move. So playing football and still relatively healthy, you know, after the game, it's such a blessing. So I look forward to phase two in my next career.
Well, Tony, all these guys who think they're going to come out and catch him in the flag football. You think it's tough to tackle somebody, trying to catch somebody in flag football like Leon Washington. Good luck to you.
Ridiculous. Right. You can't even hold the guy up. It's not like you can hold him up and exactly. wait for help.
I hope you have orthopedic surgeons lined up on the sideline because all those geezers are going to be blowing exactly. out knees trying to get you, man.
You got a couple weeks to get in shape. Get ready.
Yeah, no doubt about it. And for you, Leon, I know a long career, obviously grew up here in Jacksonville, went to Andrew Jackson, went through all that. Did it ever come close? You coming to the Jaguars, was it ever close to you being a member of the team?
You know, when the times I were free agents and in negotiation, we tried to reach out. We never could make it happen for some reason. You know, I would have loved to come back home and play for the Jazz, but never made it happen. I kind of went to other places, but I would have loved to come back home and play. And then whenever I played in the stadium, I played so well. I mean, when the Arlington Warriors, when I was 11 years old, playing when the Park won a championship game, we played against Normandy. We lost, but I played well. And then coming to high school, I didn't get a chance to play in high school. Then coming to college at Florida State, won the Gator Bowl MVP in there. Then my rookie year against the Jaguars, I had my first 100-yard rushing game. So I always played well in that stadium. But I would have loved to play for the home team, especially growing up so close to the stadium.
We've talked about this before because we've had you on so many times over the years. It's hard to believe for me. You know, one of the first shows I ever did in Jacksonville was a high school Friday night show. Like, Tony made it into a staple here on 1010XL. And that was the season you and Seattrick Faison were going back and forth, putting up just crazy, crazy numbers, and just to see, you know, what you've done since then. But talk about that Gator Bowl game, that chance to kind of cap your collegiate career and come back in the city you grew up, and you know you're getting ready to get paid, you know, to play professional football, but just to wrap up the amateur side of your career on your home stage and to perform you the way you did, what was that like for you?
I mean, it was no better way to do it. I mean, I can't even imagine. You know, you got to imagine that. I grew up right by the stadium. I'm from the east side of town, so I seen the Jumbotron from the back of the apartments I grew up in. So I stayed watching the Jaguar game. I actually sold Coca-Colas, you know, walking up and down the stands when I was a young teenager selling the Jaguar game. So I grew up right there. All of my family is from right there, so you know, I think back to that week. We practiced at JU. I had a tremendous practice at JU that week. So we practiced here in Jacksonville. And then just come back home with all of my family and friends there. I remember it had to be at least 80 tickets I had that game, like 80. And that scored right in the end zone where most of my family was, so on the second play of the game. So it was a tremendous feeling. And it went MVP of that game. And won another bowl game for Bobby Bowden in front of my family and friends. It's something that we'll never forget. You know, it's a great opportunity for that.
Yeah, they say sometimes the toughest place to go is home.
Yeah.
Right? Like, just because of the pressure that's put on you, when you show back up in your hometown, the family is there, all the friends are there cheering in the stands. Exactly. How difficult was that week for you, just from a mental side, trying to prepare to be in front of all these people that you care so much about?
Well, I mean, the toughest part is probably, you know, trying to get tickets at the last minute. So you try to knock all the tickets out, you know, that Monday or Tuesday. And then hopefully by that Thursday or Friday, you'll be straight before the game. But, you know, for me, I kind of flipped it. You know, when I'm in the Florida weather, you know what I mean? When I'm in Jacksonville, it's my homegrown, the smell of the Bermuda grass, everything is so familiar with me. So when I go out there, I definitely enjoy it. So when I was in National Football League, whenever I played in Miami, you know, I would come out the tunnel and be like, hey, I'm from the FLA. You know what I mean? Because it was something about, you know, being in Florida. So I always cherished, you know, and definitely took advantage of that energy being back home.
If you want to get on board and talk with Leon Washington, ask him a question or just make a comment about his playing career, you can do that at 641-1010. Text us at the same number if you can't get through. You don't have time to break us off a call right now. All right, so you're done playing football. We know you've got a lot of charitable endeavors lined up, and we'll continue to talk about those and look forward to, you know, spending more time with you now that you're back here in Jacksonville. But what's next stage? I mean, you can only do so many charity events. You can only do so, you know, many golf trips or vacations. You got to have something to occupy your time, right?
Yeah, no doubt. And that's the hardest thing, playing the National Football League and playing football for so long. You get up 6 o'clock in the morning, you get home, you know, late at night in some cases. So, you know, I got to occupy that time. So my phase two would definitely be coaching. All my network is catered to coaching. So, you know, I look forward to getting into that. I have the ability to impact kids in a positive way and have the ability to produce winners. So I look forward to getting into that. So, you know, you never know. I could be coming back home to coach in some aspect.
Now, when we say coaching, ultimately, I mean, you want to be a high school coach, you want to be a college coach, you want to be a position coach. You see yourself all the way at the top of the profession, being a head coach.
I see myself definitely as a head coach. You know, a guy that done things the right way throughout my whole entire career, kept my nose clean, never got in trouble, got a beautiful family. I see myself as a head coach. No doubt about it. See, I'm really smart. I know the game. You know, I kind of a great coaching tree, great, you know, pass in my coaching tree. I got Bobby Bouton. No, I got Kevin Sullivan, right?
Oh,
I got Bobby Bouton, right? I got Eric Mangina, who came from the Bill Belichick tree, and I'll get back to Belichick. I got Pete Carroll. Then I've actually played for New England maybe half a year. So, you know, the guys that I learned from, you know, I got to share that knowledge. I got to share that knowledge because some of the aspects of the game that they taught me, I mean, from the greats all time. So it's a great, you know, great situation for me.
Smart not to mention that he happened to maybe suit up for Tennessee. You know, at some point along the way, we're just going to excise that from the record as far as Jag fans are concerned. We got Paul out on the west side, wants to talk to you, Leon. Okay. Paul, you're on Jaguars today with Leon Washington. Go ahead.
Hey, Leon, I just had a quick story. When you were a senior at Andrew Jackson, we played a Pop Warner game on a Thursday night. And for us kids, we idolized you. And to see you in the little walkthrough uniform, I mean, it made our night, and I wore number 3, so it was kind of, I mean, you were definitely, you know, a big part of my playing running back, and, you know, I tried to idol myself after you, and then you being such a good person, I mean, it's just a great role model for a lot of kids playing football in Jacksonville, so I just wanted to thank you and congratulate you on a great career.
Well, thanks so much, Paul. That means the world to me, and that's a great example for all young kids to understand that you never know how you might impact people, even when you're in high school, and so thank you so much, Paul. That means a lot to me. It really does.
When did you first realize that you had that impact, even on kids, even at that young of an age?
I mean, it really started early. You know, my family kind of bred me for that. When I played football at the Arlington Warriors, you know, I kind of came from the east side and went over there, and I was a really good football player. And I remember my family telling me, like, hey, you know, kids are going to look up to you even at 12 years old. They're going to look up to you, and so you have to always do things the right way. But when I got to high school, I really felt the impact. Because I really felt how we took the Andrew Jackson football program along with Coach Mike and Coach Sullivan. We really translated that program. So I seen how me going to class, doing the right thing, me doing the right thing on the football field, me doing the right thing on off the football field, get an opportunity with so many young guys behind me to earn full scholarships to go to college.
All right. Leon Washington in studio with us again. If you'd like to join Leon on the show, 641-1010. We're going to take a quick timeout. We're going to come back. We're going to talk about what you think about the current state of the Jaguars, current state of Florida State football, which is near and dear to your heart.
Yep.
I continue to talk about all the good work your foundation is doing and take folks' calls at 641-1010. Leon Washington, one of Jacksonville's all-time favorite sons, in studio here with us at 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
Now more Jaguars today on 1010XL, 92.5 FM.
And, of course, one of the many stops in the National Football League, the first squad for Leon Washington. I remember getting you to do that at one of those Super Bowls over the years. You always came and showed. Why did you always come? Were you promoting stuff? Were you just coming to hang out and be a part of the NFL team? You always seemed to be a guy that would pop up on Radio Row every year.
Yeah, you got to take advantage of the opportunity. And the reason why I did it, because I can come in here right now and get on the radio.
There you go.
I mean, I knew it as a player during that time when he had the media days during the Super Bowl. You can always go in there and gain valuable experience by watching guys the way they did on radio, TV, or whatever the case may be. So I always knew, you know, that could be an opportunity for me to get better and learn and network.
But Alan Hearns did it this year we talked about. You know, he just came out by himself. Did you see the story on Alan Hearns that came out today?
Oh, yeah.
From yesterday. He's allergic to grass. Have you ever heard of something like this?
Oh, yeah, that's common. I was coaching my kids' little league football team last year, Mighty Might, and we had a couple kids allergic to grass. They had the little allergic pins and everything.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You got to think, most of this grass is so mixed breeding and all that, you know.
I guess. I mean, we see them out there, Tony.
It just seems nuts to play football if you're allergic to grass.
Yeah. Well, we've seen Hearns, like, in the heat of August with the long sleeves on out there. We're like, this guy doesn't need to lose weight. What is he doing?
That's right.
No
wonder he's not scared of safeties. The grass is the scary
part. Right. Yeah. Now we know why he keeps his feet so well. As we say, Leon Washington, one of Jacksonville's favorite sons, grew up here and played at Andrew Jackson High on route to Florida State University. Jackie Flowers followed a similar path. He went to Raines High School back in the 70s and then went over to be a star wide receiver. In fact, the second team All-American his final year at Florida State University.
Wow.
He's on the line with us now at 641-1010. Jackie, good morning. How are you?
Good morning to you. God bless you.
Same to you, buddy. Yeah. You're on with Leon. Go ahead, man.
Hey, Leon, I live over on the north side.
Okay.
And one day I was working, and I met your dad, man.
Oh, yeah.
He was telling me that he was a great running back in Jackson, too.
Yeah.
And we had a few conversations, man. The guy was busting with pride. He was busting with pride about you, man.
No doubt.
I was wondering what kind of relationship you got, because you guys had, because I'm bragging on you, too, man, from Jacksonville. I went to Reigns, and we whooped up on you, Jackson Tigers.
No doubt. Yeah, I know about that. Yeah.
But he was busting with pride, and I just want to let you know, when you said that you were going to go coach, man, when I was coming up, my coaches and my park leaders put the great instillment into me, and I think that's great. That's a great thing, man, and I think you're going to be a great leader in our community around here with our young men, because we need more young men like you. And I just want to let you know that I'm very proud of you, brother, and you represent Jay very well.
Well, okay? Thank you. Hey, thank you so much, Mr. Flower. It means a lot to me. And I tell you what, your example getting at Florida State, especially in the mid-70s and late 70s, you kind of laid the foundation for most of our guys right now. And I know Bobby Bowden had crazy stories back then when he was at Florida State in the early mid-70s. So, man, thank you so much. That means a lot to me. And my dad instilled in me, early on, son, to always keep looking forward. The best is yet to come. So I appreciate that so much. And so it's always good for – I'm a father of three boys. So it's always good to, make your father proud. So Father's Day is coming up. So happy Father's Day to all the fathers out there, especially the ones that take care of their family and take care of their kids. It really means a lot. So thank you a lot, Jackie. Go Noles, man.
Hey, go Noles. Keep it up, my friend.
Thank you, Jackie. Now he called. He said a lot of nice things, but he really called to say how Reigns got over on Andrew
Jackson. Oh, yeah, yeah. So,
come on,
But guess what, Jackie? So when I was at Andrew Jackson High School, my junior year, we haven't beaten Reigns at one high school in 24 years.
Mm.
So in 24 years, we haven't beaten Reigns. So in 2000, we actually beat Reigns for the first time in 24 years. So we got your back, man. We got your back.
All right. Hey, Jackie, thank you for the call. Thanks for listening and checking in.
I bet that was a heck of a locker room at Andrew Jackson.
Oh, it was crazy that night right there. 24. Can you imagine that? 24 years.
Oh, my gosh.
Losing to one high school? Jeez.
Oh, man. Jackie, thank you for the call. Leon, you were telling us on the break there in reference to Bobby Bowden, how rough things were when he first got to Florida State, that he used to get a collection of tickets
and try to
give them away. Tell us what the story was.
Yeah, it's a crazy story. So when Bobby Bowden first got to Florida State, he was really trying to push the program, really trying to go out and get fans involved in Tallahassee and come out there and support the football team. And then Bobby told us a story to when he had went up to Winn-Dixie on one Friday. He wanted to go out and hand, fans out tickets, tell them to come out. So he had six tickets. So he's walking around trying to get the tickets away. He can't give them away. So Bobby thought to himself, okay, well, maybe I'll go out and just leave him in my car windshield. When I come out, somebody will take him and they'll come out to the game. When we came outside the grocery store, he had 12 tickets in the car windshield.
This is where we leave our unwanted Florida State tickets, right?
No doubt. So Jackie Flowers, so he's one of them guys that built the program. So, yeah, Florida State has come the long way. So look at Florida State now. So over the last, almost going on a decade now, it seems like, probably the last 6 years, we've been dominating the state of Florida.
Has Jimbo surpassed your expectations? Or did you expect him to be this good?
I mean, I knew early on from the first year when I talked to some of the players about Jimbo, right away, his accountability for discipline, he played no games with it. Like, you had to be disciplined. You had to be accountable. So when we talking to the guys from after that, I knew it was going to be an opportunity for him to be successful because the players are here in the state of Florida. It's enough to go around for everybody. So once he started recruiting and started doing well, and his philosophy, sticking to it, look at the way he handled those quarterbacks, E.J. Manuel, Christian Ponder, and the guys he got coming out, Jameis Winston, he handled all those guys well. So, I'm not surprised at all. And so I just hope that, one of these big schools don't come in and try to take our head coach.
Does that mean Florida State's not a big school? I mean, what level of school would it take to pull Jimbo away from Florida State?
Well, no, I guess we're older.
He's going to come hit me.
I mean, yeah, you know what I'm talking about, those big schools in the SEC.
I do.
Yeah.
I mean, honestly, the people have said, Bama or LSU would one day maybe come calling.
Texas, those.
Yeah, like something along those lines. But, enjoy him while you got him.
We love him. He wants to be there, so that's awesome, though. He has a great coaching staff down there. Everybody, he enjoyed down in Tallahassee, so that's awesome.
What are your expectations for that squad this year?
Yeah. I like the underdog role we're going to be in. I think we're going to be in the underdog role. I think that we have a great opportunity in the ACC this year. Obviously, with Clemson, with Watson over there, quarterback is going to be tough. But if we get that quarterback situation figured out,
that's
figured out early,
question, right?
You know what I mean? you know, Sean McGuire is great. You know, I mean, not great, but we know Sean McGuire can get the job done. But some of those guys we got coming in, Malik Henry and DeAndre Francois, those guys can, you know, really play. So the skill position-wise, you look on the outside, we got really good wide receivers, running backs, lines are good, so we're good.
Dalvin's ridiculous. Yes. The experience of McGuire versus the potential of these other guys, I think you got to find that sweet spot when to you make that transition, because clearly the future of the position lies in those new guys that are coming in to get their opportunity. Yeah. And with that, what about the Jags, man? I mean, you know, you're also talking to us on the break. Really want to take this coaching thing seriously. We could tell it's evident how passionately you talk about it. But, you know, as a young team, you've been with teams that have been young in the past. What kind of growth markers are you looking for? What kind of things will this young team to be able to add in the third year under Blake Bortles at quarterback, for instance?
Well, the main thing I'm looking for in the maturation of a team, like, you know, especially the third or fourth year, you're looking for the team to really take advantage of situational football. You're really looking for them to take advantage of those situations in the game. Say, for example, you know, you look on the clock, the coach will throw out there, okay, we have a minute 35 on the clock, we got two timeouts, we're down 3 points, we're on the minus 35-yard line. You throw that situation out there, you expect your team to go out there and execute that situation, both on offense and defense. So you can really tell that, you know, the Jaguars, just by reading some of the reports they've been doing, talking about in the offseason, they're really moving toward that situation where they can really take advantage of the situation of football. And if you do that, you can win a lot of games.
They've had a lot of success going into the kind of the two-minute offense at times. Mm-hmm. At times the defense, I don't think, has been stout enough that you don't want to do it too much, because if you fail to pick up a first down, if you're in that hurry-up mode, you're throwing right back on the field. But hopefully the defense is getting to the point where they're going to even things out on that score. You don't expect Blake Bortles to be Tom Brady, certainly yet, but when you played with Brady up there in New England, were there just points in the game where he'd look and say, okay, let's go? Like in the middle of a drive, he'd just switch gears kind of on his own because he saw what the defense is doing. Okay, guys, we're going into two-minute mode right now, that kind
of
thing?
Yeah, exactly. And so the maturation of a quarterback, when he understands, okay, once I know what the front is I'm playing against, once I know what the coverage is I'm playing against, then my play going to dictate that coverage. So, you know, and that's what two-minute offense does for a quarterback, because when you go into two-minute mode and a hurry-up mode, the defense only can play one coverage. They're not going to give you, you know, any kind of missed coverages. So, you know, for Blake Bortles, for any quarterback in the National Football League, when you look at that situation, I come out two-minute mode and I know it's a cover two shell, I love that all day. Because I know I can hit the guys right in the hole, right in the zone. When I come out and I know I'm playing against the Tennessee Titans in 2 minutes, they always play man, for example, then I know I can, you know, throw my man routes out there. So, for the quarterback to understand that maturation and definitely let Blake Bortles head in that direction, it's going to be big for Jacksonville.
All right, let's get back to the phones. 641-1010. Steve is on the north side with a question for Leon Washington. Hi, Steve. Go ahead, buddy.
Hey, good morning. How are y'all?
Good morning. We're great.
Good morning. Good.
Leon, if Theatrix hadn't went to Florida, did you have any offers to go to Florida to be a running back for them?
Man, are you kidding me? I was Mr. Football, bro. I was Mr. Football in the state of Florida,
yes,
bro.
I
got
offered
by everybody in
them.
The country, man. Yeah, so, you know, with that situation with Florida, Seattle had committed early to Florida. I think he committed maybe his sophomore year. And so when I was getting recruited by the Gators, you know, they were recruiting me. They just recruited me because they had to, because they knew I was a five-star player, but I didn't think they really showed the attention like Bobby Bowden did.
Do you think it was a size issue, or what? They preferred a bigger guy, or what was it? Or that
they offered me a scholarship. They wanted me to come in as an athlete. So like most teams had me as an athlete, either running back or cornerback. It's just that, you know, once you had Seattle Faze on or whatever, one guy from Jacksonville already, it kind of like, you know, you're happy with that. I don't
right.
know.
And they probably felt like, you know, I don't know how you feel about it, and I understand you're a competitor, and all you guys are competitors. But
yeah, exactly.
Why go to a play if you see a team that's signed four All-American running backs?
Yeah.
Why be the fifth? Right.
Why
I mean, only
fifth,
one guy can carry the football.
Yeah,
it's just common sense.
It's good for Seattle that didn't come to Florida. It's good for him. You know what I mean?
There you go. Now that your playing days are done, the gloves may be coming off a little bit. It appears. And by the way, just that note, what color shirt would you call that you're wearing right there? Kind of. Is that a? Is that a fuchsia? I don't know. I was going to say, it's on the orange side.
What's kind of
peach? Peach? All right, we'll go peach.
Yeah, orange peach.
Orange peach. All right. I didn't know if you're allowed to wear orange these days. Steve, thank you for the call. 641-1010.
It's definitely not orange.
You wanna get, it's not a true orange, I'll say that, okay. But it's in the orange family, I think, at least. But a lot of fruits are. So, you
it's
know,
orange-ish.
It's all good. Leon Washington here with us. What are you expecting out of the Jags this year?
You look at the the AFC South, it's a division to where, you know, everybody's thinking like, hey, we can take it.
Sure.
You know, we can take it. So you look at Tennessee, they're trying to rebuild there. You know, they got a young quarterback. And you look at the Texans with Osweiler. And, you know, Indianapolis Colts has Andrew Luck up there. So everybody's rebuilding. So this division is going to be tight, like all is. But, you know, for the Jaguars, you know, like any other NFL coach I played for, it always start with winning the division. You have to win the division. If you win the division, then you get a division home game in the playoffs.
Sure.
You know what I mean? So for the Jacksonville Jaguars, my expectation for them to go out there and really improve and get better. I think that, you know, I don't want to put a number out there, you know what I mean? But I really believe, like, they're going to have an opportunity to make a push for the playoffs. Just based on looking at the guys on the roster and the potential they have. But everybody knows you have to go out there and do the process, and that's preparing yourself. You have to go out there and be prepared. If you do that, Sunday will take care of themselves. So I look for them guys having an amazing year. I'm a Jacksonville Jaguar fan, you know, diehard Jaguar fan. So I look for them having an amazing
year. You grew
year.
Up a Jaguar fan,
grew
right?
Up a Jaguar
so
fan.
And you've kept that in the back of your mind. Obviously,
yeah,
when
man.
You're playing against them, we understand.
Yeah, yeah,
you got to
exactly.
perform. You got to do your thing. Who's the biggest pickup that they've made this offseason? Out of every free agent's draft? And
ooh, man, yeah.
Should I exclude Jalen Ramsey from this conversation?
Well,
today?
I mean,
that's
an automatic.
A big one.
It's a big one. That's an automatic. But, you know, I really like that safety out of Cleveland.
Deshaun Gibson.
That safety, man, because in today's league, you got to have a free safety to go back there and control the middle of the field and actually know what's going on. He has to be the quarterback because he's the main one looking at the quarterback. I like the safety. And one of my sleeper picks, of course, Jalen Ramsey, you know, but one of my sleeper picks, I really like Miles Jack. Because the reason why I like him is because he's a football player, and he's kind of remind me of myself. So he played running back, but he also playing linebacker. So what that tells me is that when he's watching the running back run, he know where that running back is going at. So with that aspect of it, and if he can drop back in coverage and really play in the deep zones and really can play underneath, he could play slot wide receiver. So that's going to be a huge pickup. And, of course, I cannot forget Malik Jackson.
Oh, no doubt.
No doubt about it. He's probably the biggest pickup. I mean, a guy like that who's going to demand a double team, can really pressure the quarterback from inside the pocket, can move him all across the line. Great matchup problem is going to be awesome.
Hey, yeah, you name all those guys, and then you know Dante Fowler's not new to the team, but he's new to the field, new to the lineup, man.
Oh, yeah.
And now you got five, you know, almost half your starting lineup
on defense, quality additions
and quality upgrades, it appears. Before you get out of here today, let's go through it again because time just flies, man.
Right, yeah.
When you're in here, all the charitable stuff that you've got coming up with your foundation, with your football camps, lay it all out and tell people where they can get more information.
Well, thanks again, Jacksonville, for supporting us. This is our fourth year, and we've really been rolling the right way. We've been doing things the right way, laying down a solid foundation. So I'm going to start off. Just go to LeonWashingtonFoundation.com, and you can pick up everything. But Friday night at Andrew Jackson High School, June the 24th, is a Celebrity Flag Football Tournament, okay? You can get your team. It's a few spots left for the team. You go online and register for all that information. It's going to be awesome. A throwback situation when I'll be out there playing. If you want to get a one-on-one against me, if you think you still got it, call not everybody. You know what I mean? If you think you still got it, we can get it.
Seatric, are you listening?
Yeah, are you listening?
Come on out.
Yeah, and then Saturday morning, you know, at Blue Cypress Park is our free football camp. We were really expecting this to be the biggest yard this year thus far. It's going to be huge. We got almost 400 kids signed up already, so a few spots left. But we're going to take up all the kids. And then that Saturday night, our big fundraiser event at Everbank Field at the Terrace Suite, Kate Camp performing live at my celebrity/retirement gala. So it's going to be a nice event. A bunch of my NFL former football players, teammates are coming in for that weekend. It's going to be really, really nice. So if you want tickets, go on to LeonWashingtonFoundation.com, you know, and just hit us up. We really love the support. Everybody come out. You know, I like everybody. I like the Gators. I like the Seminoles. I like all the high schools. We all in this thing together, man. So let's help each other out because we got big plans coming back to Jacksonville.
And for folks who don't know, what does the Leon Washington Foundation do? All this money that you raise, where does this money go and how does it impact the local community?
You watch us especially over the last year. You've been watching those at Rebaugh High School, been going to all elementary schools, you know, using our resources, using our sources to help kids out. So what we assist low-income families in Jacksonville through education, sports, and life skills. All three of those things. We feel like all three of those combinations can really help your kids or anybody in life be productive. So our foundation got big plans coming to Jacksonville this year. Make sure you keep following us because we got big plans coming. We look forward to impacting the community in a positive way.
Learn more about the Leon Washington Foundation mission by going to LeonWashingtonFoundation.com. And as Leon said, that's where you can get tickets to all these events or camps, what have you. Let's get Claude in before we wrap up here on the line with Leon Washington. Claude, good morning. You're on with Leon. Go ahead.
Hey, good morning, guys. Good morning, Leon.
Good morning. Good morning, Claude.
Hey, I just wanted to reach out to you, and I appreciate you guys taking my call, and I wanted to thank you for everything you've done in the past and that you're still doing today, not only for our school as a Florida State Seminole, but as for our city, being a local Tallahasseean, and also for our state of Florida. I really appreciate it, man, and then we're just thinking about you out here, man, and again, thanks for everything you've done.
Hey, Claude, thanks a lot, man. I really appreciate you and appreciate your support from everyone, you know, especially Seminole Nation, man. I think that, you know, Seminole Nation is growing here in Jacksonville. I think it's the right time. You know, we got a bunch of Florida State players on the Jaguar team. So it's going to be great. It's going to be a great year. So I want to end off by thanking all my sponsors because, you know, over the past 4 years, we've been having the same consistent sponsors. PRI Production, you know, every year. Alan Worley over at Money Pages every single year right behind us and on Chick-fil-A River City Marketplace. Thank you so much. I really appreciate the unwavering support.
All right. Well, there you go. He is Leon Washington again. One of the best that's ever come through the city of Jacksonville and one of my favorite guys that I've got to cover over the years, Leon. Still can't believe, man, you got three kids. Stop it. I'm feeling older every time you come around.
They're almost ready. I got a 10-year-old, man, so a few years, he'll be ready.
Breaking ankles. What do we got? Future what? What positions do you
see?
Oh,
man,
guys,
I got a righty and two lefties.
Oh, okay.
I got right two lefties, so my two lefties are in baseball.
Two lefties need to throw that ball, man.
That ball. Yeah, exactly. Then my 10-year-old, he's nice, man. He's all around. I mean, he can play soccer as well. So,
is that right?
Yeah, he can really play. So I look forward to, you know, not only my kids, but everyone else's kids. Look forward to just sharing that knowledge, what I learned, especially on the football field.
You know, I threatened my wife that I was going to tie my son's right arm behind his back for the first few years of his life. I didn't do it, so I'm stuck with a mediocre fastball right-hander at the age of 11. So I don't think he's going to be carrying dad on his athletic salary later on down the line. Leon, great to see you, man.
Thanks a lot, Mike. Thanks a lot, Tony. Appreciate it, man.
The Leon Washington Foundation, at leonwashingtonfoundation.com. Find out all the info. And keep your ears open as, who knows, Leon may be more active on the local scene very soon than you even realize. So we'll keep an eye out for that. Good luck in all your post-playing day endeavors, and good to see you, my man.
Thanks again. Appreciate it, guys.
All right, there he goes. Leon Washington will come back, and we'll take a look at the fan feedback spotlight today on Jaguars Today, which, Ash, is kind of in tying in with the charitable theme. Jags out today visiting a bunch of area hospitals and trying to cheer up some local kids who are dealing with a variety of maladies. So what is the nicest thing that you've seen a Jaguars player do outside of football? Could be a personal encounter. Could just be a story that's really nice that you're aware of. We'll go through some of the feedback that we get on the other side coming up. Thanks to Leon Washington for stopping in with Fat Tony and Tyler Devitt. I'm Mike Dempsey. It's Jaguars Today on 1010XL and 92.5 FM. Let's welcome in Derek Schultz, Fox Sports 97.5 in Indianapolis.
This Colts defense on paper, you look at the starters, very few homegrown players. They've had to patch together with veterans and trades, etc. It doesn't look like they're going to be very good. What are some reasons why you think they can make some stops during the course of the game this year?
Yeah, you know, I appreciate you being nice about it. Really, let's face it, guys. Hey. The defense is dog crap, right? I mean, it's bad. It's a bad defense. Not only are they bad, guys, they're old.
I love it. And who wouldn't? They're dog crap.
That's pretty fantastic.
They're old dog crap, Tony. They're like that hard white poop.
Petrified.
Right, that nobody bothered to scoop up.
Yeah.
And it just sat there and sat there and sat there and calcified. That's what the Colts defense is.
Did you see the Colts are having their mini camp this week? The veteran mini camp is this week up there in Indianapolis. And yesterday out at practice, there was actually a Jaguars fan there on the sideline in a big number 5 Bortles jersey.
Yes.
And the Colts handle actually tweeted out a picture of him and said, "You lost, bro." And I love the Jaguars' Twitter handle responded with a correction for the tweet that said, "Sir." He is not a bro.
Right.
He is a sir.
Right. And also, somebody did one where they showed his back, and he had, of course, the Bortles number 5, and they added a 1 and a dash and a 16 on the other side for 51-16, which was well played, I thought, as well. The Photoshoppers were out in full force yesterday, so we got plenty of good Mayo shots, and they're taking the Colts to task as well. I don't think we'll see too many Colts jerseys out there at Jaguar minicamp next week, but if we do, you take your life into your own hands, right? I'm not advocating violence. I'm just saying it's not generally the best thing to do to show up at the other guy's place. But hey, it's America. Where would you want just understand the repercussions that come with it. I'm talking catcalls, Tony. I'm not about fisticuffs.
No, I understand.
Not assault.
I'm not even saying that I don't think it's a little odd to go to an opposing team's minicamp practice wearing somebody else's jersey.
Just letting them know. It's coming.
It's a little strange.
It's coming. The B2 Bomber's coming. Okay?
But represent what you want to represent.
Represent. Today, we asked you with the Jags out on the road today all over Jacksonville at various locales, including Wolfson's and you name it. Nemours, I don't want to leave anybody out, but I probably will because I'm trying to do this off the top of my head. But they made visits to four different locations today, local healthcare centers, Ronald McDonald House and Brooks Rehabilitation, in addition to those two I just mentioned. Visiting kids, trying to cheer up kids, give them a little brightness and levity in their day. They do a lot of things like this and really professional athletes too. And I know a lot of people do as well. We cover the National Football League. We cover this team. So that's what we're going to talk about, what they do. So we asked you today, what is the coolest thing you've ever seen a Jacksonville Jaguar player do outside of football? Maybe you're just aware of it and you didn't see it firsthand. You know what we're saying. Maybe it happened to you. Maybe it happened to somebody else. Or it just happened to somebody you don't know. But it was a cool thing. So what do we get on Twitter today?
We got a couple different responses mentioning St. Derek March taking the young lady to prom. In his Lambo. That was a really cool story here last year. Duval Doom sent in Fernando Bryant, grabbed a guy's wallet off the floor and ran him down in the mall to return it to him. From Mike, there was a special needs bagger at Publix, and Daryl Smith would always stop for 5+ minutes and talk to her. It would make her day. From Matt, Mike Sims-Walker used to do Jag Nights where he'd take the fans out to the movies. From Will, there's a story here, and I want to know what it is, but James Hamilton, the former Jaguars linebacker, was only here for a couple of years. He said, James Hamilton paid for half of my father's funeral arrangements.
Wow.
And I asked him, I was like, did your father know James? Like, what's the story here, the connection between these two guys? But obviously something there, and it's pretty cool of Hamilton to do that either way.
Yeah, no doubt. Here's some from Facebook. Doug said he was around 10 years old. Not all these are – look, they're on different kind of levels here, right? I was around 10 years old. Keenan came up to me saying, man, those are some nice shoes you're wearing. Next day at camp, Keenan had the same shoes on. So that's an interesting little thing. Josh said back after Fred Taylor was just starting with the Jags, he was out with knee surgery at the time, and his dad took him to Altel to get a couple of footballs signed by several Jag players, and he was in middle school at the time, and Fred took at least 15 minutes to talk life and football. He's my favorite Jags player of all time. Just like, you know, kind of Leon Washington was talking about, you never know at what point you're going to be impacting a kid. You know, even at a very young age, when he was in high school, he was aware of the impact he could have on even younger kids that looked up to him.
Sure.
So it's great that they take the opportunity to those few minutes. Fred Taylor might not remember that. That kid will remember that maybe for the rest of his life, truly for the rest of his life, and that could have a big influence on somebody. Who is that? AJ on line one. Let's get AJ in with a story here that fits the theme. Hi, AJ. How are you?
Doing good. Just had a story about Rich Griffith. He used to be here. Good guy. Did a lot of good things in the community. But one that stands out is he was a former Boy Scout, so they invited him to the big Boy Scout gathering there at Naval Air Station. There were thousands of Boy Scouts out there, and he shows up in his number 85 Jaguar jersey, and, of course, the guys go crazy when he comes out on the stage. And he said, listen, he said, I've worn a lot of uniforms through the years, but I just want you to know one of my favorites was this. And he reaches up and grabs his jersey and pulls it off like the Hulk. And underneath his Jaguar jersey is a Boy Scout uniform, and the kids just went crazy.
That's cool. Yeah.
Yeah.
Go ahead, AJ. Yeah, sorry.
He's still doing good things out in Colorado Springs, working with men's ministry out there in a church, and his family is doing great. They've adopted a couple of children from China, and so he continues to do great things, not only in the church, but in the community, too.
Well, we appreciate you sharing that story, AJ, and that's pretty cool, you know, kind of get into it. And Rich Griffith was no superstar player or anything like that. When you're a kid, Tony, look, some of them are savvy, and they know, hey, Blake Bortles, that's Blake Bortles, right? I don't care who you are. You walk in, you're the freaking long snapper, and you're wearing that uniform, and you're a professional football player. It has an impact on some of these kids. A couple more I just wanted to share before we get out of here today. We had the one officer. Was he an officer or a
JSO, yeah.
JSO, okay. He said that Mercedes Lewis, he was getting ready to get his bill. He said, hey, can I get my check? And Mercedes was up at the front taking up some pickup, picking up some takeout. All right. Some combination of those words was accurate. And the waitress's point said, he got you, sir. You know, like, he just picked him up because he saw he was in uniform and, you know, just trying to do a nice thing like that and wasn't looking for any recognition, was going to do it and leave.
Yeah,
and
cool.
Not say a word about it, you know. And that, I'm sure there are a lot of guys.
He's really about that action.
That's right. Let's get Randy in here quickly. He's got one about David Garrard, who will be in studio with us tomorrow, as a matter of fact, for Jaguars Today. Go ahead, Randy.
Yeah, this happened back shortly after David had his big contract extension, his $60 million. And it was during the holiday season. He went out to want to make them some big baskets, turkeys, for 12 disadvantaged kids and their families. And originally it went to Winn-Dixie, because at that time Winn-Dixie was the official supermarket of the Jaguars. And they tried to make a big promotion out of it, a photo op. And he says, no, 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 no. I don't want to have nothing to do with that. You know, and they kept pressing and kept pressing. Well, he says, you know what? I'll just go to my store that I shop at, which happened to be the Publix over at the town center, and says, I'll just go in there and they'll take care of me. That's where I met up with him. He comes back to us. We do all the wrapping and the big bows in the back room, and the guy just said, you know, just throw it in the back of my pickup truck. I'm going to take it off, and we never heard anything in the news media, anything about it, and that guy is just pure class. I can tell you from that time on, I was a David Garrard fan.
All right, there you go. Hey, there's plenty of reasons to be one. Randy, we appreciate that story. And Dave's one of the truly good guys that have played for this franchise, and he has been ever since we've known him. So
yeah.
Thanks for sharing that.
Unfortunately, we couldn't even get to all the stories that have come in today.
So many good stories in here, honestly, that, man, I'm just I don't want to jump in and isolate a couple over some of the other ones, so I'll just leave them. Maybe we'll get to some of these tomorrow that we didn't have time to wrap up today. That's going to do it for us, though. Glad we could bring you Dante Fowler Jr. once again, as we heard from him this week for the first time officially sitting down with us on Jaguars Today. You'll see him out there at minicamp, hopefully, if you're attending, next Tuesday and Wednesday. Jags doing some community service today and supposed to be back on the practice field tomorrow, and we expect that they will be wrapping up OTAs for week number 3. Thanks to Leon Washington for coming in today. One of Jacksonville's all-time favorite sons, LeonWashingtonFoundation.com. Find out everything he's got going on and keep your eyes and ears peeled for news of Leon's latest endeavors post-playing career, coming soon to a radio dial near you.
Oh, yeah.
That's going to do it for us on this Thursday. For Fat Tony, for Tyler Devitt, for Joe Fortunato, I'm Mike Dempsey, wrapping up for Jaguars Today. Stick around, however, the Midday Chalk is coming up next on 1010XL and 92.5 FM.
That's a great job.
You guys have a good day. Peace.